Ibn Kathir's introduction. All praise is due to Allah, who started his book by saying, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Nir-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin. Translation, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all that exists, the most gracious, the most merciful, the owner of the day of recompense. Al-Fatiha, chapter 1. Verses 2 to 4, Al-Qur'an. And who began his creation with the hamd, his praise and appreciation by saying, translation, all praise and thanks be to Allah, who created the heavens and the earth, and originated the darkness and the light. Yet those who disbelieve hold others equal to their Lord. Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 1, Al-Qur'an. And ended it with the hamd by saying, after mentioning the destination of the people of paradise and the people of the fire. Translation, and you will see the angels surrounding the throne of Allah, glorifying the Lord with praise. And judgment will be made between them, that is creatures, with the truth. And it will be said, all praise and thanks be to Allah, the Lord of all that exists. Chapter 39, verse 75. Al-Qur'an. And similarly in the next ayah Allah says, translation, He is Allah. There is no ilah except for Him. He is the praise in the beginning and in the end. He is the judgment and to Him shall you all return. Chapter 28, verse 70, Al-Qur'an. Verily all thanks are due to Allah in the beginning and in the end for what He has created and what He shall create. Allah is the one praised for all things, just as the praying person says, O Allah, yours is the praise, praise that fills the heavens, the earth, and whatever you will after that. All the thanks are due to Allah, who sent His messengers, whom He described as, translation, bearers of good news and warners, so that mankind would have no plea against Allah after the coming of messengers. An-Nisa, Chapter 4, verse 165, Al-Qur'an. And ended them with the unlettered Arabian Meccan prophet who guides to the clear straight path. Allah sent the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to all of His creation, the jinns and the mankind, from the time that His prophethood began until the commencement of the last hour. Allah said, translation, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O mankind, verily, I'm the messenger sent to you all by Allah, the one to whom the dominion of the heavens and the earth belongs. There is no God worthy of worship but He. It is He who gives life and causes death. So believe in Allah and His messenger, the unlettered prophet who believes in Allah and His words, and follow Him so that you may be guided. Al-A'raf, chapter 7, verse 158, Al-Qur'an. And Allah also says, translation, that by it I may warn you, and whoever it reaches. Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 19, Al-Qur'an. Therefore, whether one is an Arab or non-Arab, black or red, human or jinn, whoever this Qur'an is conveyed to, it is a warning for them all. This is why Allah said, translation, but whoever rejects it among the groups of other peoples, the fire will be their promised meeting place. Surah Hud, chapter 11, verse 17, Al-Qur'an. Therefore, whoever disbelieves in the Qur'an among those whom we mentioned, then according to Allah, the fire will be their destination. Allah said, translation, then leave me alone with those who deny this narration, the Qur'an. We shall gradually punish them from where they've perceived not. Surah Noon, chapter 68, verse 44, Al-Qur'an. Also the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, translation, I was sent to the white and red. Mujahid commented, meaning mankind and the jinns. Hence Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger to all creation, mankind and jinn, conveying what Allah revealed to him in the glorious book that says, translation, Falsehood cannot come to it from before it or behind it. It is sent down by the wise, worthy of all praise. Surah Fussilat, chapter 41, verse 42, Al-Quran. Therefore, the scholars are required to elaborate upon the meanings of Allah's speech and to convey these meanings, providing they seek them from their proper resources. The scholars are required to learn and convey these meanings, just as Allah said, translation, and remember, when Allah took a covenant from those who were given the scripture, that is to the Jews and Christians, to make it known and clear to mankind, and not to hide it, but they threw it away behind their backs, and purchased with it some miserable gain. And indeed, worst is that which they bought. Ali Imran, chapter 3, verse 187, Al-Quran. And Allah also continues to say, translation, verily, those who purchase a small gain at the cost of Allah's covenant and their oaths, they shall have no portion in the hereafter, that is paradise. Neither will Allah speak to them, nor look at them on the day of resurrection, nor will He purify them, and they shall have a painful torment. Al-Imran, chapter 3, verse 77, Al-Quran. Allah criticized the people of scriptures, that is Jews and Christians who came before us, for ignoring Allah's book that was revealed to them and for acquiring and indulging in the affairs of this life, all the while being distracted from what they were commanded, that is adhering to Allah's book. We Muslims are thus required to refrain from doing what Allah criticized the people of the scriptures for and to heed what He commanded us, that is learning and comprehending the book of Allah, revealed to us and to convey all that is in it. Allah said, translation, has not the time come for the hearts of those who believe in the oneness of Allah, that is Islamic monotheism, to be affected by Allah's reminder, that is Quran, and that which has been revealed of the truth, lest they become as those who received the scripture before, and the term was prolonged for them, and so their hearts were hardened. And many of them were fasiqun, that is the rebellious, the disobedient to Allah. Know that Allah gives life to the earth after its death. Indeed, we have made clear the ayat to you, if you but understand. Chapter 57, verses 16 and 17, Al-Quran. Hence, Allah is mentioning this ayah in chapter 57, verse 17, after the ayah that preceded it, alerts us to the fact that just as He brings life to the earth after it has died, He also softens the hearts with faith and guidance after they have become hard because of committing sins and errors. We ask Allah to grant us this good end. He's the most kind, most generous. The sources for tafsir is the next topic. If someone asks about the best methods of tafsir, we reply that the best method is to explain the Quran with the Quran itself. What is mentioned in general terms in one place in the Quran is usually explained in another place. When one does not find this easily, he should look to the Sunnah, because its purpose is to explain the Quran and elaborate upon its meanings. Allah said, surely, we have sent down to you, O Muhammad, the book, this Quran, in truth, that you might judge between men by that which Allah has shown you. So be not a pleader for the treacherous. Chapter 4, verse 105, Al-Quran. And Allah also says, and we have not sent down the book, the Quran, to you, O Muhammad, except that you may explain clearly unto them those things in which they differ, and as a guidance and a mercy for a folk who believe. Chapter 16, verse 64. And Allah also says, and we have also sent down unto you, O Muhammad, the dhikr, that is reminder, and the advice, that is the Quran, that you may explain clearly to men what is sent down to them, and that may give thought. Chapter 16, verse 44, Al-Quran. This is why the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I was given the Quran and it's equal with it, in reference to the Sunnah. The Sunnah was a revelation from Allah just as the Quran, although it is not recited as the Quran is recited. So one seeks the tafsir of Quran with the Quran itself and with the Sunnah. If one cannot find the tafsir in the Quran or Sunnah, He should refer to the statements of the companions, who are the most knowledgeable of tafsir, for they witnessed the situations and incidents that we did not witness. They also had the deepest comprehension, the most correct knowledge, and the most righteous works, especially the scholars and leaders among them, such as the four rightly guided khalifas and righteous imams, and Abdullah bin Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with them all. Imam Abu Ja'far bin Jarir at-Tabari narrated that Abdullah bin Mas'ud said, "By he other than whom there is no God, no ayah in the Book of Allah was revealed, but I have knowledge about whom and where it was revealed. Verily, if I know of a person who has more knowledge than me in the Book of Allah, that the animals can reach by traveling on them, I will travel to meet him." Also among the scholars of the companions is the great scholar, the Sea of Knowledge, Abdullah bin Abbas, the cousin of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the explainer of the Qur'an, as a result of the blessing of the supplication of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam invoked Allah for the benefit of Ibn Abbas. He said, "O Allah, teach him fiqh in the religion and interpretation." Further, Ibn Jarir at-Tabari reported that Abdullah bin Mas'ud said, "Yes, Ibn Abbas is the interpreter of the Qur'an." This hadith has an authentic chain of narrators. Ibn Mas'ud died in the 32nd year of Hijrah, and Abdullah bin Abbas lived for 36 years after that. Hence, what do you think about the knowledge that Ibn Abbas collected after Ibn Mas'ud? Al-Amis said that Abu Wa'il said, "Ali once appointed Abdullah bin Abbas to lead the Hajj season. Ibn Abbas gave a speech to the people in which he read and explained Surah Al-Baqarah. According to another narration, it was Surah An-Nur. In such a way that if the Romans, Turks, and the Daylam heard him, they would have embraced Islam." This is why the majority of the knowledge Ismail bin Abdurrahman As-Suddi Al-Kabir collected in his tafsir is from these two men, Ibn Mas'ud and Ibn Abbas. Yet, he sometimes mentions what they narrated of the Israelite accounts that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has allowed, when he said, "Convey on my behalf, even if it is one ayah, that is sentence, and narrate from the children of Israel, as there is no sin in this. And whoever intentionally lies on me, let him assume his assured seat in the fire." This hadith from Abdullah bin Amr, collected by Al-Bukhari, Fath al-Bari, volume 6, hadith number 572. This is why when Abdullah bin Amr had possession of two books from the people of the scripture on the day, that is the Battle of Yarmouk, he used to narrate what was in them, because of what he understood of the hadith that allowed this practice. The next topic is Israelite accounts and tales. Yet, the Israelite accounts and stories should only be used as supporting evidence, not as evidence themselves. There are three types of these accounts and tales. A kind that we are sure is authentic because we have in our religion something that testifies to its truth. The second type is what we know to be false based on what we have. The third is of neither type. Hence, we neither affirm nor deny this type, and we are allowed to narrate it because of the hadith that we mentioned. The majority of these are of no religious benefit. For instance, an Israelite tale mentions the names and number of the people of the cave, that is Al-Kahf, and the color of their dog. They also include the type of tree Moses' staff was made of, the kind of the birds Ibrahim brought back to life by Allah's leave, the part of the cow the dead Israelite was struck with to resurrect him, and the kind of tree that Allah spoke to Moses through. Such examples of things that Allah kept and explained in the Quran do not carry any daily or religious significance for responsible adults. The next topic is the tafsir of the Tabi'in. When unable to find the tafsir in the Quran, the Sunnah, or with the companions, the scholars then look to the tafsir of the Tabi'in, second generation of Islam, such as Mujahid bin Jabr, who was a wonder himself in tafsir. Muhammad bin Ishaq narrated that Abban bin Salih said that Mujahid said, "I reviewed the Mus'haf with Ibn Abbas thrice from beginning to end, asking about each and every ayah in it." Also, Ibn Jarir narrated that Ibn Abi Mulayqa said, I saw Mujahid asking Ibn Abbas about the tafsir of the Quran while he was holding his tablets, that is papers. Ibn Abbas would say to him, "Write," until Mujahid asked him about the entire tafsir. This is why Sufyan al-Thawri said, "If the tafsir reaches you from Mujahid, then it is sufficient for you." The scholars of tafsir also include Sa'id bin Jubair, Ikrimah, the freed servant of Ibn Abbas, Atha bin Abi Rabah, Al-Hasan al-Basri, Masrukh bin al-Ajda, Sa'id bin al-Musayyib, Abu al-Aliyah, Al-Ra'bi bin Anas, Qatada al-Dahaq bin Muzahim, and other scholars among the Tabi'een, and the following generations. The statements of these Imams should be mentioned and referred to for tafsir. We should mention here that these scholars use a variety of meanings for some words, leading those who do not have enough knowledge to think that they conflict, and thus they consider them opposing statements. This is not correct, for some of these scholars would use variations of the same expressions and some of them would use the precise terms. These meanings are all the same in the majority of instances, and those who have sound comprehension see this, and Allah is the one who guides and directs to success. The next topic is tafsir by mere opinion. It is prohibited to indulge in tafsir by mere opinion. Muhammad bin Jarir reported that Ibn Abbas said that the Prophet ﷺ said, "Whoever explains the Quran with his opinion or with what he has no knowledge of, then let him assume his seat in the fire." At-Tirmidhi, An-Nasa'i, and Abu Dawud also recorded this hadith. At-Tirmidhi said, "Hasan." The next topic is explaining what one has knowledge of, silence otherwise. The Salaf used to refrain from explaining what they had no knowledge of. For instance, Ibn Jarir, that is At-Tabari, reported that Abu Ma'mar said that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq said, "Which land will carry me and which heaven will shade me if I said about Allah's book that which I have no knowledge of?" Ibn Jarir also reported that Anas narrated that Umar bin al-Qattab read the ayah and fruits and abah, that is herbage, etc. While standing on the minbar, he said that we know the fruit, so what is the abah? He then said, "Umar." This is exaggeration. This statement means that Umar briefly wanted to know the exact nature of the abah, for it was evident to him that it is a plant that grows on earth, just as Allah said, "And we cause therein the grain to grow, and grapes and clover plants, that is green fodder for the cattle." Chapter 80, verse 27 and 28, Al-Quran. Ibn Jarir also recorded that Ibn Abi Mulayqa said that Ibn Abbas was asked about an ayah, that if any of you is asked about, he will indulge in its tafsir. Without hesitation, Ibn Abbas refused to say anything about it, meaning with his opinion. This narration has an authentic chain of narrators. He also narrated that Ibn Abi Mulayqa said, "A man asked Ibn Abbas about the ayah," translation, "one day, the space whereof is 1,000 years. Ibn Abbas asked him, "What is," the translation of, "day, the measure whereof is 50,000 years. The man said, "I only asked you to tell me." Ibn Abbas said, "There are 2 days that Allah has mentioned in his book, and he has better knowledge of them." He disliked commenting on the book of Allah when he had no knowledge about it. Al-Layth narrated that Yahya bin Sa'id said that Sa'id bin al-Musayyib used to talk about what he knows of the Quran. At-Tabari, Volume 1, Hadith number 86. Also, Ayyub ibn Aun and Hisham ad-Dastuwai narrated that Muhammad bin Sirin said, "I asked Ubaidah," meaning As-Salmani, "about an ayah of the Quran, and he said, those who had knowledge about the circumstances surrounding revelation of the Quran have perished. So fear Allah and seek the right way." Ash-Sha'bi narrated that Masrukh said, "Avoid tafsir because it is narration related to Allah." These authentic narrations from the companions and the Imams of the Salaf, that is the righteous ancestors, testify to their hesitation to indulge in the tafsir of what they have no knowledge of. As for those who speak about what they have linguistic and religious knowledge of, then there is no sin in this case. Hence, The scholars and the imams, including the ones we mentioned, issued statements of tafsir and spoke about what they had knowledge of, but avoided what they had no knowledge of. Refraining from indulging in what one has no knowledge of is required of everyone, just as everyone is required to convey the knowledge that they have when they are asked. Allah said, translation, to make it known and clear to mankind and not to hide it. Chapter 3, verse 187, Al-Quran. Also, a hadith narrated through several chains of narrators says, whoever is asked about knowledge that he knows but hid it, will be tied with a muzzle made of fire on the day of resurrection. The next topic is the Makkan and the Madinan surahs. Hammam narrated that Qatada said, surahs Al-Baqarah, Al-Imran, Al-Nisa, Al-Ma'idah, Bara'ah, Al-Ra'ad, Al-Nahl, Al-Hajj, Al-Nur, Al-Ahzab, Muhammad, Al-Fath, Al-Hujarat, Al-Rahman, Al-Hadith, Al-Mujadilah, Al-Hashr, Al-Mumtahanah, Al-Saf, Al-Jumu'ah, Al-Munafiqoon, Al-Taqaboon, Al-Talaq. O Prophet, why do you forbid for yourself to ayah number 10 and also when is shaken? Chapter 99, verse number 1, and when there comes the help of Allah to you, O Muhammad, against your enemies. Chapter 110, verse 1, in the Quran were revealed in Al-Madina, the rest were revealed in Mecca. The number of Quranic ayat is the next topic. As for the count of ayat of the glorious Quran, these are at least 6,000. There is a difference of opinion over this count. Some said the number is 6,000, while some added 204 ayat, and some added 14. Also, some added 219, while some added 225 or 26. Furthermore, others added 236, as Abu Amr ad-Dhani said in his book, Al-Bayan. The next topic is the number of words and the letters of the Qur'an. As for the number of the words and the letters of the glorious Qur'an, Al-Fadl bin Shadan said that Atha bin Yasir said there are 77,439 words. As for the number of letters of the Qur'an, Abdullah bin Qathir said that Mujahid said, this is our count of the letters in the Qur'an, 321,180 letters. Further, Al-Fadl said that Adha bin Yasir said the Qur'an has 323,015 letters. In addition, Salam Abu Muhammad Al-Hamani said, Al-Hajjaj gathered the readers of the Qur'an, those who memorized it, and the scribes, and he asked them, tell me about the entire Qur'an. How many letters does it consist of? They said, we counted 340,740 letters. The next topic is dividing the Qur'an into parts. Al-Hajjaj then said, tell me where the middle is. They found that the middle is at Allah's statement. Translation, and let him be careful. In Surah Al-Kahf, chapter 18, verse 19, Al-Qur'an. While the third is at the 100th ayah in Surah Al-Bara'ah, chapter 9, the second third ends at the 100th or the 101st ayah of Surah Ash-Shu'ara, chapter 26, and the last third ends at the end of the Qur'an. The seventh ends at the end of Allah's statement, translation, of them were some who believed in him, that is Muhammad, and of them were some who averted their faces. Chapter 4, verse 55, Al-Qur'an. The second seventh ends at last letter of his statement in Surah Al-A'raf, that is chapter 7, verse 147, Al-Qur'an. Translation, then will be lost. The third seventh ends at Allah's statement in Surah Al-Ra'ad, that is chapter 13, verse 35, Al-Qur'an. Translation, its provision. The fourth and the end of his statement in Surah Al-Hajj, chapter 22, verse 34, translation, we have appointed religious ceremonies. The fifth seventh ends at Allah's statement in Surah Al-Ahzab, chapter 33, verse 36, Al-Quran, translation, it is not for a believer, man or woman. The sixth seventh ends at Allah's statement in Surah Al-Fath, chapter 48, verse 6. Translation, who think evil thoughts about Allah. The last seventh ends at the end of the Quran. Salam bin Muhammad then said, we learned these facts in 4 months. Some people said that Al-Hajjaj used to read 1/4 of the Quran each night. We should mention that the first fourth ends at the end of Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6. The second at the translation, and let him be careful. That is Surah Al-Kahf, chapter 18, verse 19. The third at the end of Surah Az-Zumar, chapter 39. And the last fourth at the end of the Quran. Al-Shaykh Abu Amr Ad-Dhani said in his book Al-Bayan that there is a difference of opinion over all of these statements. Allah knows best. The next topic is the juzu or chapter of the Quran. As for the chapters of the Quran, there are 30 well-known juzu, which are used in the various schools and so forth. We mentioned the hadith that the companions used to divide the Quran by juzus, not surahs. This hadith is recorded in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, Sunan of Abu Dawud, and by Ibn Majah, that Aus bin Hudhayfa said that he asked the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam during his lifetime about how they used to divide the Quran. They said, a third, a fifth, a seventh, a ninth, 1/11th, 1/13th, and the Mufassal until the end. The next topic is the meaning of surah. There is a difference of opinion about the meaning of the word surah, that is chapter, and what it is derived from. It was said that surah means elevation and height. An-Nabigha, a renowned poet from the pre-Islamic era, said when he was praising a king, do you realize that Allah has given you such a surah that every other king remains far below it? Furthermore, surah implies that the reader is moving from one stage to another. It was also said that surah means height, just like walls that surround cities. It was said that surah was called as such because it is a part of the Quran, as compared to the word asr, which is in the reference to whatever remains in the pot. Therefore, in this case, the origin of the word was altered so that the word now reads surah. It was also said that surah was called such because it is complete and perfect, as the Arabs used to call the perfect camel a surah. I say that the word surah means collecting or surrounding parts, or the ayat in this case, just as the wall that surrounds a city surrounds its homes and buildings. The plural of the word surah is suwar, suwarat, and surat. The next topic is the meaning of ayah. The ayah is the sign, or pause, that separates the speech before and after, meaning that the ayah is separate from its preceding and following sentences. Allah said, the sign of his kingdom. Chapter 2, verse 248, Al-Quran. It was also said that it was called ayah, meaning a wonder, because mankind is unable to produce something like it. The plurals for ayah is ay, ayat, or ayai. The next topic is the meaning of kalima. As for the word kalima, it means one word, which might consist of two letters such as ma and la. The kalima might also contain more than 10 letters such as layastakhlifannahum, chapter 24, verse 55, Al-Quran, and anulzimukumuha, chapter 11, verse 28, Al-Quran, and فَأَسْقَيْنَاكُمُهُ, chapter 15, verse 22, Al-Quran. Also, a kalima might constitute an entire ayah, such as وَالْفَجْر, chapter 89, verse 1, or وَالْضُحَى, chapter 93, verse 1, and وَالْعَصْر, chapter 103, verse 1. Further, the scholars of Kufa said that each of Alif Lam Mim, Toha, Yasin, Hamim is a kalima. In addition, Abu Amr Ad-Dhani said, I know of only one ayah, that is one word, That is Allah's statement. مُدْهَامَّتَان in Surah Ar-Rahman, chapter 55, verse 64, Al-Qur'an. The next topic is, does the Qur'an contain non-Arabic words? Al-Qurtubi said, there is a consensus that the Qur'an does not contain any non-Arabic expressions. The scholars also agree that there are some non-Arabic names in the Qur'an, such as Ibrahim, that is Abraham, Nuh, that is Noah, and Lut. They disagree over whether there is anything in it that is exclusively not Arabic. Whereas Al-Baqillani and At-Tabari rejected this notion, saying, what the Qur'an contains of non-Arabic terms is shared between various languages.